Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Giving Jacob 15 seconds and then it's 9 o'clock and I'm saying, what's up, everybody?
Okay.
1, 2, 15. There we go.
Nope. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki and Bree. How are you two doing?
Surprise, motherfucker!
Very good. Very good.
No, I tried Jacob to get to yet. It earlier, but
I'm sure Jacob will show up as the show goes on, as per usual with these Thursday shows. But it feels like an off week, doesn't it?
But yeah,
not really.
Like there's not much for news this week. GDC's happening, so like my emails have been empty all week. I haven't been getting shit for PR blasts or for like check out this game or check out this trailer. Check like everyone's gone.
Yeah.
It's just everyone's at GDC, so nothing's happening.
Well, that just means that next week we'll be real fucking busy.
Probably.
Because they'll all be back and we'll be completely swamped.
Yay, yeah. Backlogs.
Yeah.
So how have your weeks been?
Bree, you go first.
Oh, I was just kind of half explaining this to Aki before the show. But yeah, I'm going through like a weird grieving process. It's not about a person. It's about an aspect of my life. And I let go of all of my medieval armor because I can't fight anymore. And so that's like a really weird thing. Like, I'm just like in a weird headspace about that because like I can still participate and do all the cool medieval stuffs that I've been doing for years. I just can't fight anymore. And it was like so final, just getting rid of all of my armor and weapons and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been a weird week.
Yeah. I had my birthday earlier this week. I'm still in kind of a weird mindset over that. Like just getting older is not as fun as it used to be.
Yeah.
Like I don't have a reason to get excited that it's my birthday anymore. And like I think I said this on the last episode, but like my mom didn't even call me. She forgot.
Oh no.
She called me the next day and she's like, I'm so sorry. But like that's just the kind of day that my birthday was. I spent most of it in bed because I didn't want to wake up. I've been in such a funk lately. It sucks. By the way, Jacob's here, as you probably heard.
Yay. Yeah.
Welcome, Jacob.
Jacob, how's your week going?
I've been sick most of the fucking week, thanks to the company on-site that I got forced to go to last week. You know, despite the fact that I told them, hey, I have health issues, I probably shouldn't come up. So, naturally, they forced the guy who hasn't been in an office setting for over 4 years, probably immunocompromised, and what do you know? I get sick as shit because I went to like the dirtiest fucking city in the United States. So yeah. So me and my oldest son were sick, and now my youngest son is sick too. So,
GG. Woo! Party time. Everyone's having a great week, huh?
I honestly wasn't even sure like how tonight was gonna go because like literally like 15 minutes before Joe posted the schedule of like, you know, like this is the order of like how we're reviewing the games. My youngest just like, you know, I have to go to the bathroom, like all over the place. And I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me. Like,
okay. You had 90 minutes to clean up.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is that like, this is unfortunately like the one gene that he picked up from me is that like when he gets sick, he gets sick. Like,
oh, fun.
So, oh yeah. So this is, so like, I mean, granted, he's been alive on this earth for 6 years, so I'm a little prepared for it, but it's like, this is just a prelude to the, yeah, you know, to the deluge of vomit that's coming. So yeah, no, I've had a fantastic week.
Yeah. Good shit. Aki, what about your week? How Do you have anything positive to say? Like, all of us are in the shitter. How are things going on your end?
Well, my house is now officially fully weatherized, and it's passed all its inspections as of today.
Congrats.
Yeah, so that's awesome. I got my cables in for my new computer today, so hopefully this weekend I can start working slowly on getting it set up and working. I grabbed the Humble Bundle, so now I have all the Neo games, so that's cool. I got a cute plushie that I forgot to post a picture of, so that's awesome.
What kind of plushie?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can't just say that you got a plushie without telling us.
It is a bear hyena. It's a mixture of a bear and a hyena. Hence the yeah, it was just some random thing on makeshift. I don't even know who it came from or anything. Because they have campaigns from different creators and stuff. No idea who the creator was anymore, but it was so cute. I was like, I have to have it. And you know, it came in. So
I know our friends at a Vector Unit are putting a plush out. Jacob, didn't you post that on the Facebook page?
Yeah, it's from the Beach Buggy, whatever it's called.
Beach Buggy Racing.
So yeah, what is it?
Oh, it's just like the main character.
Yeah, they're doing one of those, like, so many orders have to be made, and then they'll produce the plush, but if not, then it just
doesn't happen. Yeah, it's makeshift. Almost assuredly, it's from the same company that I get all mine from.
Probably. I don't remember the site off the top of my head. I think it's like Raz or something. It's just like the character from Beach Buggy, right? Just doing a plush.
Yeah, I've never heard of the game, so
well, that's why I'm asking. What the fuck? It's on Xbox. I'm lazy.
Is it a person? Or is it like an animal?
It's a person.
I like animal ones.
Animal one. You know what I like? I like Game Pass.
Me too.
Oh.
Yeah, should we talk about news? We could talk about Game Pass. A bunch of games are coming to Game Pass.
Let's do it.
Available now this week. We got Lightyear Frontier on Game Preview. We got MLB The Show 24. Okay. We got The Quarry.
I'm excited to finally play MLB The Show. I haven't, like, literally last night was the first day since Saturday that I fired up my Xbox.
I'm having fun with it this year. They made some changes I'm not a fan of, but I'm still having a good time with it. I'm having fun with the achievements in it. There's actually some fun attainable achievements this year. It's not all like complete all these programs, complete all this. It's fun stuff that you just get during a game. Although I am pissed off at the computer. One of the achievements is to steal second, steal third, and then score.
Okay.
I stole second. I stole third. And then the fucking computer got a double play. I crossed home plate, but because they got a double play, the inning ended and the run didn't count.
Aww. Oh.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, not that happy sucks. About that one. And ever since I was not. Go ahead.
Did you set the computer to zero?
I'm just playing on like casual. I haven't messed up the sliders.
See, there you go.
I don't want to mess up the sliders. I want to play just normally.
Whatever.
I'm still dominating the game when I play. Another one I just barely missed is there's an achievement to pitch a complete game in under 100 pitches. 101.
Okay. Mm.
Get good,
101.
Scrub. Bet you I'll get that one before you.
Man, I was so annoyed with that.
Yay for sliders.
Just it's like the little things that are just building up. Like, something's going to make me snap, and I'm going to put my controller through my TV soon. Something's going to do it. And it's probably going to be a kid's game.
Probably.
But The Quarry joined Game Pass this week, and Evil West joined Game Pass.
I'm excited to try Evil West. That was one I really interested in when it first came out, and then I just didn't have the funds to risk it.
It's not bad. I reviewed it.
Nice.
It was pretty good. It's cornier than shit, but it's a really good game.
I haven't played it myself yet, so I can't comment on it. But next week, a couple more games are joining Game Pass. Terra Invicta is joining PC Game Preview. There's a good one. March 28th, Open Roads is a day one addition to Game Pass.
Nice.
Diablo 4 finally joining console and PC Game Pass. And then, Jacob, this one's for you. Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 joining Game Pass.
Oh, yeah? When's that?
March 28th. I just said that.
Oh, sorry. I was reading a thing about Evil Dead, so. My bad. God. But that's exciting, because that means I'll finally play it.
You're the worst. April 1st, Ark Survival Ascended, and April 2nd, Super Hot Mind Control Delete.
Ooh. Yeah. Wait, I think I have that one.
Super Hot is rejoining in a Ark. If you're into those kinds of games, Survival Ascended will be on Game Pass, but Super I know that game pissed hot. A lot of people off.
Yeah.
Super Hot.
Super
Hot.
Hot. Can't be all good news. Couple games got to leave Game Pass. Hot Wheels Unleashed is leaving, the first one, to make way for the second one. MLB The Show 23 is leaving to make way for 24. Then Infinite Makes Guitars sense. Is leaving.
Never heard of that one.
So that is the Game Pass lineup. What are your thoughts on Game Pass? Good month?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, some good stuff.
Yeah.
Good talk.
Excellent talk.
Microsoft is changing up their rewards program, and they are eliminating the rewards app on the console, meaning those weekly streaks you've been building for years are all going away on April 15th.
Yeah. That's laughable because of their own glitches. I've lost my streaks 3 times, so I don't... Like, I'm just like, okay, guys, great, whatever, you broke me already, so...
I just finally got to 100 recently, so that's really upsetting to hear, actually.
Yeah. Bree, how's your streak?
I was just getting my streak back, and it won't get to the 2,500 mark in, like, time. Yeah, I have, like, 4 weeks instead of, or 5 weeks or something like that, and, like, I'll miss it by, like, a week.
I'm going to miss it. Back, I'm going to miss the 2,500 by, like, 2 weeks, I think. I think I'm going to end at... 248. Yeah, they're streamlining it to make it easier on everyone. What the this is just one more this is one more of those things that's gonna make me break my TV with a controller. Just one of those little things. After what, 5 years of a streak building up, I'm not losing it because I'm going away. I'm not losing it because I forgot. I'm losing it because they're ending their app and just changing where they're doing it.
Yep.
Like, come the fuck on.
But will that version of it even still exist? Because when I look at the rewards thing, it's just like your daily and weekly ones for like, oh, play a Game Pass game. That's all I'm seeing on here is that kind of shit. Instead of the, you know, the 3 things you do a week that are actually fun and I want to do.
They're probably going to get rid of those completely and just keep it simplified and streamlined and pointless. So I don't know. I'm like, I don't even care about the rewards. They announced this change. I'm like, I don't care about rewards anymore.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? I don't know.
I care because I still like getting
my... A lot of people are pissed with how they've been nerfing points.
Yeah.
Like... search limits and timers and like they've been annoying a lot of people with this rewards program, and this is just one more thing to make people want to give up. Like I'll keep buying stuff and earning points that way. I'm not gonna mess around with the reward app. My engagement will be minimal because I just don't care.
It depends if they keep the weekly thing like we currently have. If they move something like that over, I might still interact with it. Otherwise, it's dead to me, and it's dead to most people because almost everything on here requires. Streaks,
I'll keep doing it.
But even if we have to restart our streak, I don't care about that much.
Oh, but I like, care.
90% of this shit requires Game Pass. Play any Game Pass game. Earn an achievement in a Game Pass game.
Yeah, those are your dailies.
Another one is complete 3 days. Yeah, but that's fucking everyone who doesn't have Game Pass. At least with what we currently have, anyone can still get those. Because it's, log in 3 different days. Check out this offer. Everyone can get that. That is something for everybody. But the stuff that maybe they're going to just leave and only have now is all you need to give us money and we'll give you a pittance of points for it. Oh, and play a whole bunch of games.
Well, if you're subscribing to Game Pass specifically for Microsoft rewards, you're fucking doing it wrong. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah, a little bit. But it's still,
I don't know.
With the other one, you don't have to subscribe to it though, and you're getting points, and it's nice. So
perks, and I don't like it.
I don't either. It sucks.
Grumble, grumble. Yeah. Get off my lawn. Larian founder Sven Vink has announced that the company will not be making any DLC expansions or sequels to Baldur's Gate 3. They are moving on from the IP to do something new.
Okay. Yeah, they've announced that before, just no one wanted to believe it.
Oh, no, they came out and like confirmed it during some kind of award ceremony where they were taking like Game of the Year, obviously. I think that's when he confirmed that they're moving on. They're not going to be doing any DLC or expansions. They're not going to work on a sequel. Wizards of the Coast is going to go their way. They're going to go their own way, and that's about it.
So I don't blame them for that, because fuck Wizards of the Coast. So I totally get that. When you're working with a group that has the Pinkertons as their agents and will send them after people for the tiniest issues, obviously you don't want to deal with them assholes. So I get that 100%. Totally understand. I am still kind of sad that there's no DLC, because I just want more Karlach, to be honest.
Someone else might work on DLC. I mean, Wizards of the Coast can do whatever they want. They can put someone new on the game.
I don't think they will. That would require competency. If you hadn't noticed, Wizards of the Coast hasn't had a lot of that recently, so...
I don't know. Turtle Beach is buying PDP for $118 million. PDP is also in the news recently. They just put the Riffmaster guitar up for pre-order today, and it sold out pretty much everywhere really fast. So, looks like people still want to play Rock Band. Not Fortnite.
Okay, now I know.
Not Fortnite Festival. We want to play Rock Band. Fortnite.
Does that controller not work with that Fortnite piece of shit?
Oh, no, it works. They're building it for Fortnite. It so happens to work with Rock Band as well. Thank God, because if it didn't work with Rock Band, I don't think anyone would buy the thing. But it's being built for Fortnite's Fortnite Festival mode, which is what Harmonix is working on now, which is basically a neon pastel shitty version of Rock Band, where you don't actually buy your songs. You pay $6 to unlock a song, and then when they shut the game down, it's all gone.
Yeah.
That's why I will not get involved or spend a single penny on Fortnite Festival. I don't own anything. It's all online, just server-side bullshit. I'm not getting involved with it. I will not spend a penny on Fortnite Festival. Harmonix, you lost me.
I
bought into Dance Central. I bought into Fuser. I bought into Harmonix Music VR. I bought into Fantasia.
Yeah.
They lost me with this one. I'm not spending another penny on Harmonix until it's Rock Band 5.
Yeah, they're just hoping to get all the tweens and the like into it. So they have a new group.
The depressing thing is how much music they're releasing for it. They would trickle out 2 songs a week for Rock Band, and now they're dropping like a dozen songs in batches on Fortnite Festival. They didn't release that much when Rock Band was in its heyday. But Epic's throwing all this money and all this weight behind Fortnite Festival. I hope it crashes and burns. I really do. I don't care if people get mad at me for saying that. I don't care if I shouldn't say something like that. I hope Fortnite Festival crashes and burns. I hope Epic learns a big lesson from it.
I've generally thought that about everything Epic has done, just in general. So
I'm frustrated. It's just another one of those things. Another one of those things piling up on gamers that we're getting frustrated with. Anyway, Sony has reportedly halted production of the PSVR 2 to clear out backlogs of unsold stock.
Yeah. Big shocker.
Big shocker when they release something and then don't continue to support it with games. People don't buy it.
Oh, that's odd.
Yeah, shocking. Ember saying VR still not being a thing. I mean, VR is kind of a thing, just not on PlayStation because they dropped the ball.
Yeah, the irony being PC. Is they were the ones who were super pro it. They're like, Xbox failed this. We're going to do it right. And then they put out the two and immediately just dunk it right into the fucking trash can. It's like,
depressing. VR is kind of niche. Yeah, I can agree with that, Ember. I think it's still a niche product, but the potential's there to be a bigger thing than it is. And Sony is dropping the ball. They're not putting any effort behind what they're releasing. Yeah, it's just, it's the Vita all over again.
As much as I don't like VR since I can't use it and therefore it's completely pointless to me, I really want it to continue because the only way we get really, really cool shit way, way, way in the future is if this shit succeeds so the tech can develop. So people like me in the future can play even better fucking games with what comes next. And if we just keep getting stuck at this, eventually some shit's going to happen for it. But then people like me are still going to be fucked. And it's like, I just want this shit to take off and to continue and to evolve. So maybe when I'm like, I don't know, 80 or something, I can play like the 500th iteration or some shit of this tech that actually works for me.
Now, speaking of things happening eventually, Shadows of the Damned Hella Remastered was given a vague 2024 release date for Xbox, Switch, PlayStation, and PC, hitting all the platforms. No official date outside of just this year. Do you think it'll happen this year, or do you think it's getting delayed?
I figure it'll happen. It's just they want to find like a nice little window that they can quietly release it into.
Yeah, that makes sense. They can always do what Shin Megami did, and they announced that they're releasing a game the same day as Elden Ring's DLC.
Oof.
So in response, Shin Megami Tensei 5 Vengeance is launching a week early. It is now launching on June 14th, presumably to avoid Elden Ring the following week.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then final bit of news I have, Age of Booty is leaving the Xbox store March 28th. If you own it, you can continue to access and play it, but it will be gone for new purchases. If you want it, grab it before then.
Is it backwards compatible?
Yes.
Yes. I have it installed right now.
I couldn't even remember if I already bought it. Like, I assumed I did, because I remember it being on sale quite a bit, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a pirate game.
Yar.
Yep.
What did you... you know what?
It's no, me.
I know what you thought it was.
I got excited for a minute. I was like, wait, what? I've never heard of this.
Porn parody.
I am somewhat sad now that I know what it actually is.
My cats are going at it over here.
Oh no.
Oh my.
Going at it in like bad or good?
I don't think there is a good way. Joe has too many fucking cats in that goddamn house as is. There's no way in which.
Yeah, but they're all neutered, I think. Right.
They are fixed.
Yeah.
But Butter tried chasing Coltrane and got her cornered and I threw a tissue box at him.
That worked.
Aki, any news on your end?
Oh, God, no.
Bree, any news on your end?
I have one thing. It's a Yuden Chronicles 100 Heroes related. There's a delay of about a month for physical copies on Switch. Affected Kickstarter backers will receive a digital copy, though, so that they can still play on launch.
And what's causing that issue?
I don't know. That was just a bit of news I saw.
Excited for that one? That's, a month away?
Yeah, it's almost exactly a month away. So yeah, I'm very excited for that one, and still waiting to hear from Konami whether or not they're doing the Suikoden remasters of 1 and 2. They were supposed to. I'm still waiting for them to like shadow drop it the same week or something. Just like, oh, by the way, distraction.
I'm kind of disappointed that Konami is releasing Felix the Cat Collection. And it's skipping Xbox. It's only releasing on Switch, PS4, and PS5.
Of course.
Yeah, I don't... I Like, why Felix the Cat? Why this one?
I would assume it's for Japanese reasons. Like, Felix the Cat's probably still huge over there.
I don't know. But
I don't know. A buddy
of mine. We'll find out if the collection's good in a few weeks when Chris talks about it, but.
I mean, that's fair, but I mean, like, when I was in college, one of my buddies, he grew up in the Philippines, and Mighty Mouse was still regularly shown over there.
Remember, some limited run games explained why.
Oh. I need to tell you a thing about Mighty Mouse.
Okay.
I used to live with the person who owned the rights to Mighty Mouse. Her father was the creator, Terry Toon, of the Aesop's Fables cartoon and Mighty Mouse. I got to, like, live on property with this, like, weird museum of Mighty Mouse stuff and other stuff. It was super cool.
You have an abnormally eventful life. I'm just going to point that out in case you hadn't realized that before.
I was about to note that as well, because, I mean, like, you've been in Ewok. You lived in a Mighty Mouse museum.
Well, not have you considered
you lived in the museum. have you considered writing an autobiography?
I mean, it's a possibility of things that could happen one day if ever I
would you hire a ghostwriter? Because currently I'm a writer. I'd like to
I'm already a published writer, so I would just
I'm a published writer too. I mean
good for you.
I'm just saying, you know, I'd like to leave my job. So if you're going to, if you'd be willing to shell out like $70,000, you know, I'll ghostwrite your autobiography for you for a very low price. That's a friend discount too.
All right.
So Thimber's saying that some employees from Limited Run Games said on Reddit that the game wouldn't be profitable if they released it on Xbox. That's why it's not on Xbox. Because obviously not releasing it sells zero copies, and that's a lot more profitable.
Well, it could be.
I mean, if they're doing estimates based on previous limited run games and stuff like that, I mean, I get it. I think it's dumb, but I get it. I mean, they've got a business to run, and they have a very special niche thing. That's what they do.
Now, Thimber posted, it's not that we can't develop Xbox ports or that we're too cheap to do it. It's that we don't earn anything on the game digitally and physical game sales are not high enough to offset our development costs. So we have no option but to skip Xbox on these titles. I think that's a cop-out because how many companies release games digital only?
Yeah.
I think it's a cop-out.
Unless it's a bad excuse.
If
they're not making any money off of the digital ones, they have to make the money off of physical.
Well, right. That I was going to say, Aki made that correct point. I mean, that might be in the contract that limited run games only makes money off the physical copies.
Maybe.
That's what it seems to
They should work out better contracts, I guess. I don't know.
Yes, they should.
It's just a bad look. Why should Xbox fans support limited run games when limited run games won't support Xbox players?
Mm-hmm.
It's same with Square Enix. Why should people? Yep. Why should Xbox gamers support Square when Square won't support Xbox?
I mean, I don't support Square, so I mean, I'm sorry, I lied. I did support Square.
What?
And he's gone.
No. Sorry, I thought I'm not sure if my kid threw up. I was about to make a joke about how I,
he'll be back, folks.
Okay.
Gotta take care of kids. It is what it is.
All right, Jacob, any news on your end? Oh, I can't fall do into anything the abyss right now.
My gaping butthole.
Dopey, I haven't checked all of Facebook yet.
Dopey, thank you so much for the raid. Welcome in, Raiders. This is the SML podcast. We are chatting about video game news and reviews. And all that kind of fun stuff. We just wrapped up talking about news. We are waiting for Jacob to return from his expedition, presumably to the bathroom to check on his kid vomiting, to see if he has any news he would like to discuss. Bree, did you have any other news?
No, I just had that one thing.
That Ayun Chronicle.
Yeah, because I'm like super focused on that. I'm very excited about Ayuden Chronicles 100 Heroes. I follow all their social media accounts. I was part of a fan group. Like, just I might be overcommitted to it at this point.
I may have mentioned to the PR people that you're a Kickstarter backer, so that may help our cause.
Yeah, I think I've played one of those games and I really liked it, but apparently it plays differently from like all the other ones. And it's like, that was that's bonus. What I really liked about it.
Well, that was the bonus game that they got because they got their stretch goal. And it was actually made by a different company, but it sets up the story. And I believe that there's a way, if you played it, similar to like the original Suikoden games, that you can take your save file and it'll give you some bonuses. I'm not sure if that'll work on all platforms, but that was a feature in the original games where you would take some data from your previous game and upload your save, and it would tweak some options for you that you would get some bonus stuff or some extra characters that, you know, you wouldn't have had access to early on otherwise. So, yeah.
Cool. I'm just sad that the rest of the games apparently don't play like the one I played, because that was so fun.
It's going to be more like a classic JRPG. But yeah, it was fun. And I'm excited for more. I think there's going to be a lot of elements in that were in that game that you're going to see in the JRPG. It's just going to be more that classic style with modern sensibilities.
Thimber saying, in stupid news, people are canceling pre-orders for Rise of Ronin because it's on 70s Metacritic.
Oh.
I don't know. I wasn't too excited for that one. I know it's a PS5 exclusive, but it just, I don't know, that one. Like, we have Wolong from the same people who made Wolong, just their other team, and it's not reviewing as well as Wolong, so why get invested in this one?
Here's a piece of news. Hi-Fi Rush is now on PlayStation, and it got a Metacritic rating of 93, which is higher than it got on the Xbox.
That's funny.
And it's apparently doing really good over there, so people are enjoying it, and that's great.
Gotta love PlayStation players. Fuck Xbox and Xbox games. Rates it super high. Yeah.
Yep.
It's almost as though PlayStation people like Xbox games.
Like, maybe. if there's any kind of sign of media bias, it's gotta be that, right? Like, yeah, the same exact game. Size,
to be fair.
Same exact game released a year later on a different platform, reviews better.
Yeah, there's been some people calling people out for that, though, because, like, some of the same outlets reviewed it again and gave it a different review or something.
Oh, what a punch.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's upsetting.
All the drama.
Yeah, gotta love it. Anyway, we should dive into reviews. We've got a handful of games to talk about tonight. Are y'all ready for these?
Let's do it.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is Adam Wolf, developed by Madhead Games, published by Legacy Games, released March 7th on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $29.99. Step into the shoes of Adam Wolf, investigator of the supernatural, driven by your sister's mysterious disappearance. Take to the brooding streets of San Francisco, where crime and paranormal occurrences intertwine in dark corners. Solving one mystery after another, slowly unravel a larger conspiracy that could lead you to your missing sibling, but may also drag you into the abyss forever. Bree, tell us about Adam Wolf.
So first of all, I've always loved this style of point-and-click hidden object puzzle game. I remember you could, like, pick them up for $10 on CD-ROM, like they were at the checkout of the game tech stores, like the magazine rack at the grocery checkout kind of thing. Similar to, like, the Artifacts Mundi style games. So, and the detective ones even better. This game has 4 episodes as part of one bigger story. It's fully voice acted with captions for those who need them. And the captions are made kind of part of the story sometimes. There are 3 to 4 difficulty levels, like you can kind of do a blend of easy, medium, hard. But in this story, we are Adam Wolf, supernatural detective, and we live in the darker parts of San Francisco. The first episode starts with mysterious fires burning and a request from our friend on the force to take a look, because, you know, how else do you have people look into arson, I guess, if you can't find good clues? You call for the supernatural detective. And then we fall asleep and we're haunted by the disappearance of our sister in our dreams. But after we wake, we found that someone has broken into our apartment and hidden some clues for us to find, including a magic watch that allows us to set time for the scene to replay a vision of what really happened, which is a really cool mechanic for a supernatural detective to have. So, like, if you find out that the time of the break-in was like 11:30. You can set your watch for 11:30, and then it gives you this mini game to play where you have to see the things that have moved between those two times, and then it replays this little vision of what happens, so you can use that as a clue. It's super cool mechanic. Her sister's wrapped up in like a bigger conspiracy, we find out, which is like the big linking factor between all of the episodes. Besides the standard point and click, there's comic book page story interludes that are interactive. Like you click on what Adam Wolf is talking about to progress the scene. And the story is really well written. It's got like the game has all the hallmarks of hidden object puzzle investigation game, but it's so much better. There's like more, it's more story driven and cinematic. It has like a good cliffhanger at the end of each episode. And this is actually part of a series of games that originally came out in like 2016 on PC. This game is the first one being ported to consoles, so I'm excited for that. I want to see more. I hope it does well. One thing that set this apart for me is that like sometimes you get these kind of games and they don't always make logical sense. Like that's almost like a running joke for me in a lot of the style of game. Like, why do we have to find this object to use as a hammer when there's a perfectly good hammer right here, and then we just throw the hammer away when we're done, like, but later we need a hammer, we need to find something else to use as a hammer. Like, this game made a lot of logical sense. So like the hidden object puzzle would tell you one step at a time that you needed to look for something, and he would give you, or sometimes there's like a list of things for you to find, but like everything made sense in the context of the story. And all of the, you're not just looking for a clover or the number four just because you need something to find, when what you really need is the knife that's in the picture. Sometimes it's there's some similar kind of looseness to it, but everything felt much more poignant, which I really appreciated the logic of it. Overall, the game is more story driven, has a really good balance, less puzzles than you might see in other games of this type, but it's a good balance of types of puzzles and types of story content. And how it's all mixed together was just really good. The puzzles are very intuitive. If you've ever played anything like this before, I would say most of them would come pretty easy to you. Again, it's like often with this type of game, I'll skip through the story because it's not really engaging. I just do the puzzles and I move on because I enjoy the puzzles. But the story is so good in this. Like, it's really good. And I like that it was broken into episodes, both because it made it feel bigger and because it made it manageable in chunks of time. Like, I could play, and like each episode's about an hour or two, depending on how good you are with, you know, the puzzles and everything. But like, I could come home from work and play an episode and put it down, and that works. So it had a really great theme song too. There's a note about that there. But yeah, it was just, I really, really enjoyed the story, and it was a good cinematic package that I really enjoyed.
Oh, well, it clocks in at $30. Do you think that's a bit steep for this? Do you think it's okay?
I would say that I feel that price is a bit steep for any game of a certain length or type, but I would still say that this is a buy it for me. Like, it's a good game, but yeah, the price does feel a tiny bit steep for me, considering that I could get another game with a lot more time. Like, I could get a lot more time investment in for the same price.
Yeah.
But it's still a buy it for me. Maybe on sale.
Cool. Sounds good. All right. Next game, Hotel Renovator, developed by Two Horizons, published by Focus Entertainment, released March 12th on Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $24.99. Unleash your inner designer and renovate the hotel of your dreams. Embark on a makeover journey to turn this worn-out place into a successful getaway. Play with thousands of furniture pieces and accessories and manage the hotel to get 5-star reviews. Jacob, are you back yet? No. Bree, tell us about Hotel Renovator.
So, I just want to say that I could have actually been late to the show almost if I had, like, yeah, this would have been the time, but because I was totally sucked into playing Hotel Renovator still. So yeah, besides being a simulator style game, it has a very cute story that progresses through the story mode. Your grandpa Roy gives the hotel he started his fortune with for you to renovate, and then he just like disappears and leaves you to it. We meet a bunch of hotel patrons who all have varied requests that help us shape our hotel as we renovate. And the stories really help move you along into new skills and sections to remodel. I thought it might be daunting to renovate the large lobby, But then we use the space to film a rock video, and then they kicked some dynamite into the air, and it knocks out the rest of the job for us. So that's the kind of like wacky stuff that you can kind of find, like, you know, in the game. But there's more. I'll get back to. So your hotel is in, it appears to be in New York City. You can see all the buildings around you for a good ways away, and you can see you're on the edge of like Central Park. And there's a whole host of movement and changes, like weather, going on outside the hotel. Like, I was really impressed that they took the time and resources to do all that. It made a big difference from it feeling just like a sim game to like, hey, this is a real kind of scenario. It's especially cool when you get to the third floor and you're on the penthouse level and you've got like a pool up there and you can just like walk around the entire building and see the whole city and all the things going on. Like, it'll rain, it'll snow. You'll see people and cars moving outside. Like, they really put a lot of effort into that. I just thought it was really cool. You get the city sounds. But yeah, so there's lots of mini events that help you get money and fame. You'll also need to deal with plumbing, elevator, and electrical maintenance. You can discover collectible objects as you remodel rooms that helps tell the story. And as time goes on, you pick up tips in the rooms. And then you go in and you have to clean the rooms and keep your clients happy, basically. And you know, at a certain point when they're paying $11,000 per day for a room that you created, cause
good Lord,
ka-ching, I finally figured out late last night how to unlock floors 5 and 6 and, or 4, 5, and 6. And, if you put like all of the high level stuff into a room, you can get much money so fast. I'm basically doing like another penthouse floor of like super high level stuff now. And I can't wait to see how much money it's going to make me per day. Like, it's just insane how much money. Like, I still have the like $150 to $200 rooms, like through the, on the first floor through like $400 a day rooms. And that's good. I was like, okay, the penthouse goes for $5,000. That makes sense. And then it was like $12,000. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
Money. I wish I had that kind of money.
Right? The controls are mostly intuitive, and it's really easy to move through the varying menus you need to paint, tile, furnish, and decorate your rooms, which I really appreciated. As you get more stars for your hotel, you get more items to upgrade the hotel. Like, you get new furniture that is ranked higher, so you get a better quality for your room and thus more money. Specifically, also, you get upgraded tools like a sledgehammer, which takes out full floors and walls. You get dynamite for the whole room, a vacuum to clean faster. You get a robot vacuum. You get some other skills that you can buy that like improve noise quality for your guests and keep things cleaner and that sort of stuff, which is good. Most importantly was the ability to paint walls or sections of floor all at once. Like, when you start out, you get a crowbar, which, by the way, you use in the most illogical ways to like, oh, look, a cobweb. Smash. Also, I need to take out this paneling on this wall. Smash. Like, okay, that one made sense. Oh, let me get rid of this. You know, this pile of trash is stubborn. Smash. But it gets better when you get the sledgehammer because it takes out the entire like thing at once. And then the dynamite will do the whole room in one fell swoop, which is just super cool.
That sounds dangerous.
It sounds fucking awesome. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. There's no danger to that. It's just awesome.
It is just awesome. Let me put dynamite in a room. Bright flashing light. Yeah. It does sound dangerous, but hey, that's some of the fun of the game. When you start out painting, you can only paint like little sections at a time, which becomes really tedious. And if you didn't have the ability to do like whole walls, it would break down really fast because these rooms get bigger and bigger and bigger as you go. I just lost my place in my notes because I got really excited about dynamite.
It go boom.
Oh yeah. I know.
Are we already on house renovator?
We are. I'm almost done talking. Are you okay?
I'm out of breath. Okay. I mean, I'm fat, but also I rushed back here.
Okay.
I really wish my parental
kid. Okay with the kid?
You know, I really wish my parental superpowers weren't that I could smell a dirty diaper from 30 feet away or I could hear a child retching through supposedly noise canceling headphones. So, you know, I got powers where they count, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
So, yeah, I was just talking about all the cool things that you get when you get further into the game.
Out of curiosity, Bree, did you discuss my hotel?
Or? I actually have a note about your hotel in here, so let me get to that.
Okay, but, all right, cool.
So, yeah, one of the cool things that I noticed that I thought was cool. At first, I thought the hotel was haunted, but the curtains and furniture and stuff will just, like, politely move out of the way when you go to sweep or vacuum, which is really cool, actually. And
hold
it
made on.
It easy to find stuff.
Did you go through all the different items that you can install in your hotel, though? Because I think that is a possibility, because there is, like, a ghost.
Yes.
A ghost alarm you can install.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about some of that.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. The wheels, your control wheel offers a separation of floor and ceiling and walls, so you can get some precision painting, and not so much with the crowbar, but once you get to the sledgehammer, it makes it really easy because you're doing whole sections, and I can't tell you how many times in, like, House Flipper that I accidentally painted, like, part of the ceiling. So having it separated was really nice to make it easy and less frustrating. I will say sometimes the selection tool for large areas was hard to see. Like, it was just very dark and faint. But it's kind of neat that you have this grid that you could actually paint or tile every square and painstakingly stripe or checkerboard your wall with paint or tile, which there's a lot of customization. And so there's some wallpapers that'll do that exactly the same thing for you. And let me, you know, speaking of Jacob's Hotel, because I was watching last night, it is like an LSD trip that will make you schizophrenic or something from, like, all of the crazy mismatched patterns that are going on. But yeah, there's a lot of customization options for sure.
The first things. Message I got from Jacob with him playing this game is, "You've got to see what I've made." And I go onto his Twitch and it's hot dogs. And what the fuck else was there?
I had wallpaper that was hot dogs, another wall that was bananas, another wall that was kittens.
Yeah.
And then if you go inside the bathroom, it is a winter, like, forest scape. And I forget what the hell the floor and the ceiling were, but you could just go absolutely apeshit with that thing. Right. And I really enjoy just, like, how you can, like, if you want to wallpaper very specific areas, you can, or if you just want to do the whole damn wall, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
It really lets you
You can mix and match the paint as much as you want, and there's really no penalty for that if you choose to do that.
Well, there is, I mean, cash.
Well, yeah. I mean, as far as the amount of money you're putting out, like, wallpaper versus paint or whatever, but as far as, like, your penalty for quality of room does not change if your design is, like, ugly.
Oh, yeah. It all depends. It all really depends on just, like,
the furniture either, you choose.
Yeah, the furniture you choose and customer preference.
Right, exactly. So that's good. There are some goofy things later in the game, like the chicken dice battle. I don't know if you got that far into the game, but there's a hen that shows up early on, and you get to kick it out at the beginning, like you throw it out a window or whatever. But it'll show back up occasionally and destroy furniture in your rooms, but then it leaves a golden egg worth thousands of dollars.
Oh, boy.
And it will show up randomly, and it will just be in a hallway, and you'll get a notification to go find the chicken. And then there's just the hen is just sitting there on a pair of dice, and you roll the dice with the chicken like five times. And if you win, you get a couple $1,000s for your trouble.
And if you don't, then what?
There's no penalty. The chicken just disappears.
Oh, the chicken's already destroyed your shit.
Yeah. And you can, in fact, get haunted rooms. That's an event that can happen in the game. And there is a ghost trap that you can put down that's made by some guy named Egon. It says in the notes. And you use your vacuum. You put it in the path of the ghost, and you use your vacuum to suck the ghost into the trap and fight with it. So, yeah, you can actually bust a ghost in the game, which is really cute.
Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah. I would say it's not without some glitches. Sometimes tool selections would get stuck. There's a dust particle effect that lingers after renovation.
Wheel, especially when you're selecting to like throw out trash and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It just constantly hung for me. And so, like, I'd walk like five more feet, and then just the next piece of trash would just get automatically thrown out.
Yeah.
Which I was like, well, thankfully that's nothing I wanted to save, but yeesh.
Yeah. And there's some like sections where the visual, there's like some visual glitching, like between rooms where you'll have like pieces of brick or color or something that are kind of jutting out. The NPC AI is a little jank. You'll see there's not like a lot of variation in the models. So sometimes you'll be standing in the hallway for a few minutes because you're like trying to figure out which you need to do next. And you'll see three of the same person just like wandering through the hallway. And one of the other things that I noticed on your stream last night was there's a spot in the lobby that just cannot be painted. I had the exact same spot. Couldn't, it was over the window in the corner. And I noticed that you couldn't paint yours either. So there's some spots every once in a while, especially with the little windows, that just for whatever reason, you just can't paint them. I don't know why.
But it didn't seem to hinder progress though. So
yeah. I wish the elevator rides were not so long. Like they
oh my God, those are ridiculous. Like,
yeah, an enormous amount of time.
At first, like I was running at like double speed and I was just like, holy shit. Like I just blew like 20 minutes of game time, like going in the elevator. And so I slowed it down to like regular time and it was like, nope, this is still the same amount of time. And it was like, oh no.
But yeah, I've been pretty much playing nothing but this game since I got it. So
I will say that. Go back to the hotel thing. Mm-hmm. I think though, what it may be is that is when the game does an auto save.
Yeah, I think it does.
Because I know that because one time I actually tried to save in the elevator and the game would not let me.
Gotcha.
So Jacob, what are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah.
Honestly, I wish I hadn't been as sick as I got, because I really would have liked to have spent way more time on this. I have played so many sim games for this podcast. I regret so many sim games for this podcast, along with regretting this podcast. But
fair.
But the thing is that every once in a while you get a gem like Power Wash Simulator. And this one, I honestly was just like, oh, okay, it's going to be like every other damn, like, you know, interior design thing. It's going to be made by like a crew of like two people. And like, yeah, good effort, guys. But, you know, the game sucks. And then like I fired this thing up and it's like, what if you had like the Zen of a Power Wash Simulator with some interior design decisions too. And it's just like the game just lets you run free with it. I mean, like, yeah, like you do, if you're doing the story mode, theoretically you only have a limited amount of money, but the thing is it starts you off with so much that it's like you could do whatever you damn well please, as long as you just keep going through the story
to make quick cash, like by doing things you really don't run out of money if you're
exactly. And like, and there's like so many customization packs, like the Kwai pack, like the steampunk pack, the futuristic pack, like all that kind of stuff. Like those added a lot of fun elements to the game, and I was having just as much fun like tearing down the rooms like as I was designing like the god awful wallpapers that I was tossing on everywhere. I really can't wait to finish my lobby, because every single time I would get the notifications that like, you know, oh, like the, like one of the rooms up on the first floor needs to go get cleaned. So I'd go clean it real quick and then come back down. And then the elevator would open and be like, ah, Jesus Christ, who designed this? Oh, wait, I did. Fuck. So I'm having a lot of fun. It's one of those things where, you know, it's just hell of a lot of fun. Unexpected fun, too. As Brie already discussed, there is jankiness with the controls, and there is some graphical issues, but honestly, like, it's stuff I can, none of it was game breaking, for me, or, you know, I'm just having fun with this thing. It's solid. I was really pleased with this. I'm glad I took a chance.
All right, well, let's talk about price on this. The game costs $24.99. There's also a five-star edition available for $44.99 that includes the DLC pack as well as a palace furniture set. The DLC packs are available at $4 a piece separately. The pack includes, how many are in here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 sets it's going to include. And then there's also the palace set, which is separate. Bree, what are your thoughts on the pricing? And then Jacob, you could give your thoughts that you already gave.
So this game is not House Flipper, but it may be the next best thing like it. And that's pretty high praise coming from me. I would say the price for the base game is absolutely excellent. The deluxe edition is a lot of extra content, which I think Jacob has the deluxe edition with all the steampunk stuff he was talking about, which I was really cool to see the kind of stuff that was in the pack. And it's totally something that I will consider grabbing at some point, because I think it does add a lot to the game when you're, you know, if you're enjoying designing all the stuff. So I think the price for the base game is absolutely fair. And all the DLC, if you're really into this sort of stuff, is probably like worth it to get at some point.
Jacob, your thoughts?
So first off, you should buy the game at $25, and then you should also buy the game again at the deluxe edition price, so the devs can get more money and develop more games like this, because it's an absolute blasty blast. All right, so seriously, honestly, I mean, if you don't have the money for the deluxe edition, like the extra $20, yeah, go for the bare bones edition. But honestly, I went in there with the what's it called, 5-star edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I went in there with the 5-star edition. And with all of the DLC packs that I got, I wouldn't want to give any of them up. Like, the shit I've been able to create in my hotel that just looks like absolute MS Paint vomit all over the walls. I love it. I cherish it. Like, I was excited. Like, I was telling my wife, like, oh my God, I can't wait to show you my hotel after dinner. Like, you know, I'm having so much damn fun with this thing. And yeah, I just can't imagine the game without the DLC. So honestly, I highly recommend getting that 5-star edition.
Yeah.
Like, and how much does it cost?
The 5-star edition is $44.99, or you could buy the DLC pack separately for $22.99.
All right. Cheap ass Jacob is telling you to just go ahead and get the 5-star edition. Don't wait for a sale. Buy it now.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Next game, Story Blocks the King, developed by Astra Entertainment and B Legacy Publishing, published by AFIL Games. Released March 14th on Xbox One, Series X, and S for $4.99. Story Blocks the King is an engaging puzzle and narrative game that offers a short and relaxing experience in a charming medieval setting. Players have the opportunity to carve their own path, choosing the next story block at each stage. Bree, what is going on in Story Blocks the King?
Well, a storybook appears to tell you the story between each level of this puzzle game, where you're laying the path for your hero to one day become king. You have a rectangular path piece, well, several of them, that you can turn one way or the other, and then you have to use all of the blocks to complete each level. So you have a point A and a point B and C, and you can choose to go from A to B or C. And depending on what you choose, you'll get a slightly different story in your next chapter. Depending on how you arrange your blocks, it's sometimes easier to go to one path than the other. I'm going to say that the controls are a little clunky. There's not very clear instructions. I accidentally somehow skipped part of the tutorial and then couldn't go back. So that was a little frustrating. There are different stories in chapter-like books that appear on the screen, as I kind of mentioned. You choose the different paths that shape the story a little differently. So the stories will vary based on where you build to. I kind of already said that. It's hard to explain, because it's not clear what's going on until you've done a few runs. Like, endings that you've already found are check marks. You can choose a different path, which is nice, because I don't remember all these things. And the object of the game really is to go through and find all the different endings and eventually become king. It's a short game. Like, it's a really short game. Each level you progress to, the longer a path you have to lay down, and it's the same size grid, so it starts to get feeling really small, and it gets tricky to figure out how to lay out your pieces to get them to where you need to go. Yeah, there's really not much to the game. I enjoyed my time with it, getting the puzzle aspect down overall, but it's a little clunky and short.
You know what else is clunky? I think our alerts are clunky because Fun Kevin just subbed to us and the alert didn't go off.
Oh no.
So thank you, Fun Kevin, for the sub. Love having you here. Always good to see you in chat. Enjoy the emotes, all the kitty cats, and all the crazy ass wrestling animated emotes I've been doing. Story blocks is kind of frustrating because of the lack of communication. Like, for the longest time, I couldn't figure out that couldn't have block, like, touch two ends of a block, if that makes sense. Like, you couldn't put those side by side. You have to play them like dominoes.
Right, almost. And that might have been something that they talked about in the rest of the tutorial. I only knew that I missed the tutorial because I went to go look up a video to see if I was missing something obvious, and I got to see the entire tutorial on their video, and I was like, oh... Yeah, I don't know what happened where I backed out of the tutorial, but yeah, so some of that might have been in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was not very clear on what you needed to do to me, and it was just kind of trial and error that I figured it out.
It was kind of frustrating, too, because I would always get somewhere where I would be one block off. It's like, well, if I could turn it this way, it would fit, but then there'd be a piece going off that way, and now it won't count. Mm-hmm. So now I have to go back and redo everything, reposition everything. Let me try this way. It's very much trial and error, and I didn't have a ton of fun with it, to be honest.
I had an okay time with it for what it was. I thought it was a neat concept to direct the story through the branching paths that you have to create in a puzzle form. But beyond that, there wasn't a lot of substance to the game.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing is it's only a $5 game. So this is something that you could just throw a fiver at and play for an hour or two and still feel like you accomplished something. So your thoughts, $5 on this one, what do you think?
I had kind of put it at a, why not?
Fucking yeah!
That's fair. Thimber with a sub. That one worked. Why did that one work? But Fun Kevin's didn't work. What's going on? I don't know. But Thimber, thank you for the sub. Love having you here. Enjoy the emotes. Get into the contest that we're doing. If you're hanging out in chat, you should be entering the contest. There's good stuff going on. But $5. You think, fuck it, why not? Good.
Yeah, fuck it, why not? Yeah.
All right, sounds good. Bree, that is it for you. We're going to let you get going so you could presumably go sailing once again.
I am going to go sailing. That is what I do.
Sail the high seas. Are you going to beat up anyone tonight, pick on anyone, and steal their treasure?
I don't know, because one of our regular crew members is going to be a little bit late, even later than me, apparently. So, I don't know what we're going to get up to, but we are going to talk about the preview video that was dropped by Rare the other day of, Sea of Thieves upcoming things in the next three seasons, including some cool new tools and, weapons and different things that we'll be able to do with the sandbox aspects of the game. So we're going to probably discuss some of that while we sail.
That's news. You could have talked about that.
I figured I could have just thrown it in right here.
There you go. All right. Well, we will let you get going.
Hold up. You know what I really enjoy about this? Like, as you were talking about the pirate stuff, and then all of a sudden, once you said, oh, what Rare has in store, I was like, oh, wait a second. That's not Ubisoft's game with pirates that, and then Bree just kept talking about what's in the upcoming season and stuff, and it took me that long to remember. Oh yeah, it's called Skull and Bones, right? Yeah, that thing. Yeah, that game. Yeah,
not that one.
That went not out that like one. A wet fart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bree, do you have any final words before we let you go?
No, I just hope you all have a good rest of your show.
Cool beans. Have yourself a good one.
Good night.
Have a good night.
Peace.
All right. Next up is Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl, the front runner of the open world survival FPS genre. The classic Stalker recalibrated for a console journey. Dive into the grim atmosphere of this dark science fiction world on a path to Chernobyl in the first chapter of the original trilogy. We started discussing this one last week. The Stalker Legends of the Zone trilogy. I didn't even do all the info. Developed and published by GSC Gameworld. I'm on the ball tonight. The three titles released March 6th on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99 each, or $39.99 for the trilogy. Aki, you talked about the prequel last week, and now you're going to talk about the official first game, Shadow of Chernobyl. What is going on in this game? Tell us about it.
Okay, this game is set sometime after the first game. I don't know how long. But in this, you play as the Marked One, a different person from the prequel, so you don't need to remember anything about that, though you will notice a lot of similarities, because most of the people you interact with are still the same people, because it is, because everyone there is still alive, yo. So you are called the Marked One because you were found from what they called the dead truck, which is basically a truck that drives off carrying a whole bunch of dead people to, I guess, toss out in the desert or something. I don't fucking know. But you were basically found because that truck got fucked up by a big old thing of lightning blowing it to Kingdom Come. And so originally they thought you were dead, but oh no, you're alive. So they found that you have the word stalker tattooed on your arm, hence the Marked One. You are marked. And tell me if this sounds familiar. Maybe it won't. But you wake up and you don't remember anything because you have dun 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 amnesia.
There has never been a video game with amnesia in it. I don't believe you.
And not another one in the series, even. Not one that I would have mentioned last week.
Well, to be fair, this one was the first one, so they did it first here.
Technically true. I can't argue that. So you have amnesia, but you're wearing, like, military.
I do appreciate that all the things are like, this happened again, and it's these people again, and it's this again. It's like, no, it's the first time. Last week was again.
But the other one was a prequel. Fuck you. I know. I'm right. Leave me alone. So you start off in another camp, basically a different camp. This isn't the Clear Skies group because they're not here anymore. This is actually a place that you do visit in Clear Skies. So if you played that one first, you will recognize this place to a degree. And basically, they find on you this little PDA that says, kill this dude. And the guy, I don't remember his name because it was really weirdly spelt, so I couldn't pronounce it easily. So I just kind of gave up and threw it out of my head. and it just turned into, kill this asshole. which apparently seems to be your mission. And you're kitted in what looks like a military gear that after the cutscene immediately turns into a shitty brown jacket instead, which is a shame. So you don't know who you are. Your only ties to even figure out who the fuck you are is to go after this jackass, whoever it is. And the traitor who you've been left on the doorstep of is like, okay, fine. I will look up information on this person. I'll try and figure out who they are and where you can find them. But you do jobs for me. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. So you end up being given some really shitty weapons. So, you know, that's something to be aware of in this game. I don't think the shooting is anywhere near as good. And you go out to fuck things up in a way that only third-person and first-person shooters knows how to do, by killing everything. If it moves, you kill it. If it doesn't move, kill it again just to be sure. if you don't think it bleeds, shoot it anyways, just to be on the safe side. You end up doing a lot of work for this guy, slowly figuring out where the person is you're looking for and finding other people related to that person to eventually figure out who you are. And that's as far into the story as I'm going to tell you, because then it ruins stuff after that.
Gotcha.
So this so game,
gameplay-wise, how does it compare to Clear Sky?
It's quite a bit the same. You can mark stuff on the map as long as it's a quest. So it still has the same map issue where you can't just place something wherever and see a big old lit up thing. However, this one does at least have an arrow that points you to whatever your current thing is that's shown on the edge of the minimap. So that's nice. I don't know why that wasn't in Clear Skies, but it's very useful. So that's nice. The shooting mechanics, I don't feel are as good, and maybe I was just really lucky in Clear Skies. I don't know. It might actually be the same. But in this one, there's a reticule when you're not aiming down sights, and anywhere in that reticule, you can shoot. It's a pretty fucking huge one, at least with your beginning weapons. And the problem is, you know, usually when you aim down sights, where you're aiming is where the bullet's going to hit, because the whole point is you're aiming down the sights now. You have better accuracy. That is not the case with this game. Wherever those reticules were is where the bullet can land. Whether you're zoomed in and aiming down sights or not, the game does not give a fuck. Which has made my shooting and survival capacity significantly worse. So I kind of just gave up on the starting pistol because I realized very quickly this is fucking trash. And I picked up a sawed-off shotgun and I've been using that. And I still die a lot, but I at least get through fights now. you do get more weapons later on that have better accuracy that make the reticule a little smaller, but I haven't found anything that has a good scope on it yet that I hope will completely disregard that concept. And I think that might be the difference between the two games, is you get a you get a fucking scope real quick into Clear Skies, and maybe that was just making it super accurate at that point. I'm not sure. I felt like I was significantly more accurate with the pistol even in Clear Skies, but maybe I was just lucky at that point. I'm just not sure. But in this game, the condition of your weapons and gear and stuff goes down real quick. Whereas in Clear Skies, it felt like you actually had to purposely damage them for them to go down, even on the hardest difficulty. This one, it gets wiped out pretty quickly when you're on when you're in a gunfight. You get fucked up. So yeah, that's the main really big differences I've found so far. I'm not making money as quickly either, but I think that's because I'm not killing things anywhere near as quick.
Here's a question for you. Do you feel like you made the right decision playing Clear Sky first, or do you think you should have played this one before that one?
I am more concerned with the bit of story than I am with gameplay mechanics as much. So I like that I went with Clear Skies first. I think altogether that is a slightly better game as well, but and therefore this went backwards a little. But I think story-wise, for me, it was more important to get it in chronological order, because that's just how I personally like to play games.
Yeah.
Like, I even did that with fucking Metal Gear Solid, which is... It really didn't matter, because it's not like any part of that series makes any fucking sense. But, you know, like, I did that with that game even, and everyone knows, holy crap. I think starting with the second game in the series is a better choice personally.
Let's talk price. Mentioned it last week. It's $20 per game, or $40 for the trilogy. What do you think so far out of two games? Are they worth picking up, and is it worth going for the trilogy, or do you want to wait and see one more game?
Honestly, I think it's probably worth it to get the entire trilogy, because I've liked both of these games, and that's already the full price of the trilogy, so you might as well get the free next game too.
There you go, and we'll talk about that one next week.
Yep.
Cool. All right, one final game to talk about tonight, and we're getting kid-friendly, PJ Masks Power Heroes Mighty Alliance, developed by Patoon Studio, published by Outright Games, released March 15th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. After a big accident at PJ Power Q Scatters Technology. Wait. After a big accident at PJ Power Q Scatters Technology and Gems across the Earth. Okay, I can talk. These power heroes must rebuild it. Jacob, what are you rebuilding?
That's a good question. Because, like, my youngest is into PJ Masks, and unfortunately, obviously, with how late we're at night we're recording this, and also being sick, he's not present, so, you know, maybe another episode we could get his thoughts on it. Because I'm not going to lie, I haven't watched PJ Masks with my kids since, like, the original show, and now they've, now it's like this, like, Super Friends kind of thing, apparently. I don't know. They added in all these other kids. Like, one of them has, like, electric powers. One of them has, like, one of them looks like a little polar bear kind of guy, like, who scoots around on a snowboard and, like, shoots ice out. Another one, oh gosh, what does she have? It's like, I think it might just actually be a staff. Like, I think it's just like a bow staff thing. But anyway, like, so they introduce all these new characters into it, and I'm like, okay, we're going to introduce them all, right? And the game's like, nope. Like, because the game knows its audience, and the audience is not 39-year-old me. So, and so the game is just like, yep, we are just going to go straight on in. Hope you know everybody, because we're not even going to, like, they don't even drop, like, a little name thing to be like, oh, this is the ice bear guy. This is, like, the bow staff girl. Like, they don't say anything. And so I don't know who these kids are. but the original PJ Masks, kids are in there, like the gecko and the owlet and, oh God, what's the blue kid? Whatever he is. And like the plot of the show is that, like, you know, they're fighting at nighttime, and, you know, it's actually kids, I think, that are in their own school, and it's just like, I don't really get the show. Like, somehow the show makes less sense than Paw Patrol, but I digress. Anyway,
yeah, tell us about the game. Don't worry about the show. Yeah. What? How's the game?
Well, so the game itself is a side. It's pretty much like a side-scrolling action game, and there are very simple levels. The game is aimed at kids like 3 to 7-ish. And pretty much it's just these courses that you have to go and collect these crystals. And if you collect them, cool. If you don't, it's no big thing. However, there are like these like little items that you can pick up that are special collectibles for you to view later on. And what they actually are, just it allows you to view the in-game assets for various things. Like, the super villain, the big bad, I think her name is like Luna Girl, I think. I don't know. but it's like her throne, her staff, like you can like view all that kind of stuff. And you just go through these levels, and you have to avoid like little traps. But the thing is, you can't die. You can't get hurt, which is nice, because, you know, also consider who it's being aimed at. Like, so there's never any game over in this game, much like the Paw Patrol games. It's just, you just keep on going. Which, you know, I mean, that's nice. It's a very chill, relaxed thing. And I will say this, the controls and the level design is heck of a lot better than the first PJ Masks game. Like, I appreciate for the first one with like what they tried to do, but a lot of it, I felt like didn't work, especially when they were trying to work in like a 3D environment. Keeping it 2D is a very good plan with that. But they do break up the monotony. Like, halfway through the level, they'll switch off between heroes. And the heroes pretty much all just do the same thing. It's just get to the end, collect stuff, take out the moths that are floating about, which you can do with your character's power, and just get to the end and collect stuff. Sometimes there's like a little occasional puzzles, like especially with like the Gecko Kid, because you're climbing up on walls and stuff like that. But for me, honestly, the most fun was actually that, you know, that that ice, that polar bear kid, because those levels are actually pretty zippy. You can't move backwards on those, unlike a lot of the other levels. But thankfully, like, those levels are done in, like, 2-3 minutes as opposed to, like, 5 or 10. So if you miss any of the collectibles, you can just go right back in and restart. And hopefully get it this time. There's actually a few issues that I've had with it. On the first world in the second, I think it's the second one, there's one crystal that the game will not let me collect for whatever reason, which is a tad infuriating. But whatever, I figure outright, we'll look into it. I haven't had a chance to submit a bug report to them about that. But other than that, I mean, it's fine. I don't, like, if you're a hardcore gamer, obviously you're passing up on this thing. But if you've got kids who, first off, are into PJ Masks, or if you've just got kids who are, as I said, between the ages of like 3 to 7, and you want like a simple game that's not going to cause like a lot of fuss, you don't have to worry about like the kid, you know, dealing with like a real difficulty level in terms of like dying and stuff like that, or, you know, getting knocked unconscious, all that kind of stuff, then this is easily one of those games. It's not great, but it's fine.
Well, it clocks in at 40. What are your thoughts?
If you've got kids, 40, I think, is a fine price for it. If you're just looking for the achievements, which are easy to get in this game, if you're an achievement hunter, you should probably just wait for a sale on this one. As I said, like, it's not bad, but, you know, it's fine.
It's no Paw Patrol.
It is not Paw Patrol World. You know, the penultimate Outright Games title so far.
Indeed. All right, well, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Big thanks to Bree for coming on, doing her thing. Thanks to you two for being here, hanging out through the whole show. Music this episode, since Metroid Metal is playing at GDC this year at some event going on tonight, we'll play some Metroid Metal.
Awesome.
Woo. Cool. So anybody have any final words to end the show? I'm just going to wait.
Well, good.